greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
How can you not, really? Eric Zorn is here, the fine columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Special holiday edition of Eric Zorn. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Is it a holiday edition?
Yeah,
special holiday edition. I guess all the way through December, it will be right. Special holiday editions.
Did you notice this is the time of year
that
we like to cuddle, A.
We do.
And also, if you're in any kind of a business situation, you hear this phrase a lot. Well, we'll look into that around the first of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's all dead time between now and January 2nd or 3rd.
I've been doing that with even social engagements. People say, hey, let's get together for dinner. I say, well, like, let's wait till after the new year.
After the first of the year.
Like, yeah, this month is going to be, yeah. December's always crazy. It's always crazy. So, anyway.
What have you been writing about that we can discuss?
Well, I did a column yesterday for which I was criticized by some readers for not being serious enough. We live in serious times, and mm-hmm. serious things are happening out there. You know, cabinet appointments, very controversial, mm-hmm. and so on. And my column yesterday probably could not have been more trivial.
Maybe that's why I read it for a change.
Yeah, I read your column today. I wrote about several things, one of which we can talk about first. We were just mentioning off the air that Donald Trump has a strange habit of wearing his neckties about 3 or 4 inches too long.
They do seem long, don't they?
They are long.
Really long.
Is that slimming? Is that why?
A short necktie is the opposite of slimming. What are they? Chunkifying? What would be the...
Yeah, chunkifying.
Well, yeah.
It makes you look like...
You got a big, thick neck.
You just have a big belly and you just can't... There's no necktie in the world would fit over that
right.
belly. When you wear a tie that's too long, you look like a kid who's trying to wear his dad's necktie.
Like and Halloween dress-up.
There is no way to tie it where it doesn't basically hang down a couple of inches below the
sure.
belt. So you look like a child.
Yeah.
Trump has been wearing his necktie, and I went and looked through a bunch of file photos and found some from some archived stories. People have been concerned about his neckties for a while.
Aren't they below his belt?
Oh, they're well below his belt.
That's not supposed to be that way.
No, it's not.
A boa.
Well, the thing about it, this is, it looks like a leash. I mean, it's really
fun. Yeah.
And some woman wrote about this in Business Insider. She said, the only, you know, that it's a comical look. And you should only wear a necktie that's too long to work if you are Krusty the Clown. But there's no.
But he must have people who dress him.
It's tailored just for him.
Yeah.
I believe it makes him appear taller and thinner in his mind.
In his mind. I don't think it works.
No.
Though.
I think it makes it look...
Well, this. I think the point that Bill raises is an interesting one, which is this guy clearly has people around him.
Sure.
I mean, he's a very wealthy man. People are probably, you know, he's probably got tailors, advisors.
I'm sure of it.
A valet, maybe. I don't know. He's probably got, you know, like you do at home. You know,
yeah,
the
similar.
Whole household staff.
Yeah.
The downstairs people. At
we have the downstairs people help me.
But he's not listening to people. He doesn't listen to them about anything.
His daughter has a clothing line. So wouldn't his daughter, because they spend a lot of time together, wouldn't his daughter say, hey, Dad, the ties are about 3 inches too long?
And there's some, you know, it's not hard to find online or in reference books advice to people on how to wear a necktie. And it is supposed, the point of the necktie, or the end of the necktie, is supposed to end right about the center of the belt buckle, or
yep.
if you don't have a belt, right in the center of the waist
right.
line. The waist band, I should say.
I thought it was supposed to ride just above your pant.
Well, it should not. There should be no gap between the end of the tie and the pant.
Really?
No gap. But hardly any overlap. I mean, it comes right to the end. I mean, this is a. I mean, I know you couldn't tell by looking at me.
I was looking. You don't have a tie on.
He's like,
today.
Yeah, I don't have a tie today to measure up against this. But no, it's one of those things where it's like this is the kind of thing that. You know, his advisors have probably said, you know, Mr. Trump, the well-dressed man these days is wearing his necktie like this. And he doesn't listen to them. And to me, it's sort of, it suggests that he doesn't listen to anybody, that he does his own thing. His hair.
Yeah,
at some point, someone must have said, you know, this 70s game show thing is not happening. But
I saw a photo of him once where it was blowing back in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look bad. I know he's doing kind of the comb over to give himself a little bang there over his forehead, but it was blowing back, and it didn't, like, if he would slick it back or something, it really did not look bad.
Well, when he was younger, he didn't have that strange shirt, so, and he was not a bad looking guy.
Very good looking guy.
And he's 70 years old, so he doesn't have, you know, blonde hair like that, clearly. And, you know, no, I don't fault anyone for coloring their hair, but that color just doesn't look right. you know, it's one of those things where I think it just sort of tells you something about the fact this guy is he's his own guy.
He does what he wants to do.
He is his own guy, and of course, I got attacked for this for not being serious on this holiday weekend, but anyway.
But appearance, especially if you're going to be the president of the United States, that says a lot about you. The world is watching at this point, and it might not be our best representative fashion-wise.
Yeah. And some people who took me more seriously wrote and said, well, another thing, yeah, see, there's a picture there. You just called up online. This is great radio, isn't it? Look at that picture.
No, we can put it on our Facebook page, too.
Yeah, put that on the Facebook page. But the other thing people said, that he doesn't button his suit jackets correctly, that you're supposed to button, you know, the second button on your the top button.
Yeah, not the second button.
And he leaves his
jacket open,
flapping open,
so you can see the long tie.
Which is another thing that, if you look around, like his Secret Service people are better dressed than he is, which is just odd. But anyway,
there's a statement that Steve Bannon said on Friday that I love. Steve Bannon has been criticized for being something of a what's the best term without overselling it. I don't want to say white supremacist. That's a little much.
Well, he's
all right.
He was the former CEO of and publisher
Breitbart,
and yeah. He told in interviews over the summer, he said that Breitbart is a platform for the alt-right, and alt-right is a kind of a prettied up term for the white nationalist.
Yeah, so white nationalist isn't as severe as white supremacist, right?
Yeah,
that's one tier below, right?
I guess.
So this was a statement from Steve Bannon on Friday. Listen to this: darkness is good. He told the Hollywood Reporter, darkness is good. He then said, Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan, that's power. It only helps us get what we, it only helps us when they get it wrong, when they're blind to who we are and what we're doing. So he is a fan of darkness. He says darkness is good. Is that going to endear the American people to him?
Who did he put? He lumped
Darth Vader.
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan. That's
okay.
Power.
I wonder if the Cheney family felt about that.
I don't think that they were that upset.
Leave us alone. Or they said, did you name us second? Why not first?
Satan?
Yeah. That's your triumphant of darkness. Darkness is good. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan. That's power.
Well, it's not exactly the same, but this is kind of when Trump was praising Putin. And he's praised some of these other strongman leaders around the globe, that he really admires strength.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, when he says that Obama, when he was not BFFs with Obama, he was saying that Obama was very weak and a weak leader, and he's admiring the strength of some of these guys like Putin. So that fits into that kind of philosophy, which is that strength.
Remember the Gordon Gekko phrase, Michael Douglas, in Wall Street, where he said greed is good, and that was the phrase of the year, greed is good, because America was at a weird point right then where they're going, is it or isn't it? I don't know. That guy thinks it is, but do we want to be a snake like that guy? Isn't this sentence almost an updated version of greed is good, darkness is good?
Yeah, I didn't see that. It was probably one of those stories that kind of got lost in the holiday weekend. Who did he say?
Hollywood Reporter.
Why is he giving interviews to the Hollywood Reporter?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because they'll listen.
Right. Everyone would take an interview.
Well, this was
with
his
Bannon,
first right? interview. This was his first big interview since being named to the Post.
I've got to look at that, because there certainly was a lot of news over the weekend about Trump tweeting out this bogus news report from some phony InfoWars, I think it was, one of these fake news stories saying that 3 million votes were cast fraudulently, and that's why Hillary Clinton won the popular vote.
Which is 100% not true, but people believe that.
But why does the president-elect of the United States retweet it, or he didn't even retweet it, he amplified it. He said that he would have won, that he did win the popular vote.
That a recount is a waste of time.
Yes.
Yeah, but he probably would have demanded a recount had he lost.
I wonder, do you think?
I don't think that this recount, we're talking about the one that Jill Stein has initiated and Hillary Clinton has said she's okay with in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan.
Yeah.
And the people who I read and trust on this say there's absolutely no chance that this recount is going to change the results of the election in the Electoral College.
If they found something to be askew, it would be a terrible and a travesty to take away what was given to him, wouldn't it? I mean, I don't see that happening.
If they did a recount and they found lots of fraud, and they found that and lots of hacking, and they found that there's a significant evidence that she won those three states, but that's not going to happen. And so I mean, people are getting very upset about this and saying, right. Oh, it's terrible. Hillary Clinton's not letting the country move forward. Well, the country's moving forward fine, and this is Jill Stein's thing, and she's paying for it. And
why is Jill Stein doing it?
I don't have any idea. I think because she's raising money off it. Maybe she's an attention hog. I'm not sure, but it's a very strange story.
Let's take a quick break. More of this. Oh, by the way, Paul Lisnick will be on later on to talk about this recount that happens at 2:35 from WGN-TV and CLTV. Eric Zorn is here now. We'll continue this in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here, everybody, from the Chicago Tribune. Is he feisty? You know he's feisty. Eric, you wrote over the weekend about... A certain affectation that you notice people have when speaking now. You want to discuss that a little bit?
I have noticed this, and it's when you take a word that begins or has in it STR, like street or strong or strength.
Stroganoff.
And you add an H to it. Stroganoff comes up all the time.
Yeah.
And so when you would say Stroganoff.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And
what's going on with that?
Well, the thing is, it's not, you know, you might think, well, this is like how some people will say insurance instead of insurance, and it's kind of a low-class marker in a way. This doesn't seem to have anything to do with educational attainment.
It sounds Bavarian.
It does sound a little bit.
Like people want to sound more Bavarian.
And one of the major offenders in this area is Michelle Obama, Harvard-educated First Lady of the United States. And I think Kevin pulled some – this is from her speech at the Democratic Convention.
All right,
let's hear
some
examples we found.
I want someone with the proven strength to persevere. Even when we're struggling ourselves.
Struggling.
Because we are always stronger together. But who kept on striving and hoping.
Striving.
I can't stand when I hear that, and I hear that with reporters on television. It's wrong.
Yeah, I don't know, and it mystifies me.
Is it intentional or non-intentional?
I don't know if it's. I think it has become intentional that people. This is how they say these words. I can't figure out why you would say it. It's not easier to say it.
You don't say stupid. It's only STR that gets the SH in front of it.
It's the STR. And you'll find it in the middle of words. Anywhere that it shows up, they'll throw in that extra H.
Restoration?
Restoration.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I can't quite figure out where it comes from. And I actually put it to readers, like, where does this happen? And why? And people were saying, "Well, this is a dialect. It's a accent, but it's not. There's no common denominator."
If it were a dialect, where would it be indigenous to? Is it? It's not a Midwestern or Chicago thing, is it?
It's not. Someone wrote to me and said, "I think it's from Philly. I think that's where it comes from in the street."
Because I'm very street. That's how people would say it. And street turned into strong and stroganoff, and I feel like I've locked jaw.
Why would you say it's very street? Why would that? What does that signify?
I don't have any idea.
So I was asking readers to suggest where it comes from or why they say people who do say it. And someone said, "Yeah, I was saying it all my life until somebody called my attention to it."
All their lives,
yeah. And then I realized that I was saying it wrong, and I just stopped. It was hard.
I know a couple of people who do it, and I've never called them out on it, but I always assume they're doing it to sort of juice up their own language somehow. I don't know why you would need to. But anytime I hear it, I always say to myself, well, they're doing it intentionally. I don't know why, but they are. But you say maybe not. Maybe it's just part of the vernacular. It's the way they speak.
It just may be the way they speak after
a while. It's wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong.
There's no H in there.
There's not an H
there. When I go to strip clubs,
yeah,
I never say it like that.
You don't?
So maybe someone out in the listening audience who does it can explain why they do it,
now,
where it comes from.
Do people who do it, though, are they cognizant of the fact that they're doing it for the most part, huh?
I think they're not. I think it's something that, I mean, this is my sense. And again, this is from, you know, maybe 20, 30 letters that I've gotten, and I solicited letters from people. Said, please tell me if you say this, why you say it.
Yeah.
And people have not had a really good explanation other than this is how I've always said it. And I've tried to, one guy said, I tried to change and it's hard.
And it's impossible?
It's really hard. It sounds really, if I say street, and it doesn't sound right to me. The street sounds better. There were some people who wrote in saying that it has to do with the placement of your tongue in your mouth, and it's actually easier to say this, and this is why it shows up. But it doesn't. None of it makes any sense. It is something, of course, that linguists have looked at, and this is how I'm pretty confident that it is not a class marker, an ethnic marker,
I don't think it is.
Regionalism. And anyway, it seems to be just everywhere. No one can say like, oh, you're criticizing them for saying that because you're against this group or you're in favor of this geographical region. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Educational attainment. The other thing that I wrote about in the same column, because this was my frivolous Sunday.
Yeah.
I wrote about how people say often.
Oh yeah.
That sounds pretentious.
I'm often aware of people saying instead of often.
The dictionary accepts both, by the way, as correct. Most dictionaries do.
It does. And in fact, the word often comes from the old Middle English word oft, O-O-F-T. Like, and you still hear that when you say like the oft-quoted Eric Zorn.
Which with is, some regularity.
There was a T, and evidently like hundreds of years ago, proper speakers got rid of the T. And if you think about it, like a word like listen.
Who wants to get rid of the tea?
Let's go. We're all getting ready. Let's go. We're all going to agree. We're going to conspire.
I pity you, Bill.
Yeah. I pity the fool that gets rid of the tea.
Right. You don't say listen.
You don't say listen. I'm going to listen to you. So
Sonny Liston.
Sonny, you're right.
Darn you, Sonny Liston.
Liston.
So it's the same kind. It's different enough, but it's similar.
Well, the thing that it has in common with the street and strong element is that it doesn't seem to have any kind of particular class markers,
right?
Or
it just happens.
Or regionalism, and it isn't like some of the other things that people say, qualities of speech and so on do have these kind of markers.
Yeah.
So if you're picking on someone for saying something, pronouncing a word a certain way, you can say, well, come on, that's black dialect or that's Southern.
Stop doing it.
But just stop.
It's Harry Tynewitz. So,
it is.
Well, you know,
Sean
who,
Connery.
You know, always speaks perfectly, in my opinion, is Steve Burkett.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a given.
Yes, he
that's
does.
A given.
Every word he says.
He's coming up next on the Wintrust
really?
Business Lunch. Eric, thank you very much for coming by. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. It's always a good read.